Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Go ahead, Mr. Rosie. You're playing Santa Claus at a mall at where your store is, right?
That is correct, yes. Are we on the air right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, my initial desire to play Santa Claus was that it would help me promoting the outlet stores that were there, as well as help promote the mall, which would, when all the leases are occupied, will have 75 different stores and restaurants. And so, and my store is one of them.
And your store is a lingerie store, correct?
Yes, it's a Jetem in the Nexus Mall, which is in Woodland Hills. And
okay, and how often are you playing Santa? And if you're in an office or something, it's a little noisy there.
I'm sorry. I'm going to close the door of my office. Yes, 4 days a week I'm Santa Claus to talk with the children.
Well, all right, now the controversy...
Let me, if I could explain the controversy to you.
Go ahead.
I've seen these Santa Clauses in the department store and so forth for a number of years, and it always strikes me that, well, the Santa Claus are for the children. Most of the children that come to see the Santa is brought up by their mothers.
Okay.
And there's really nothing for them to enjoy while they wait in line. So we took this Santa Claus suit and we streamlined and we modernized the suit.
All right. And what way did you streamline the suit?
We gave it more of a modern cut. We brought the pants in a little. We got rid of extra padding. I suggest all the weight and the fat and brought the coat in. And we made the boots higher and got the beard a little bit shorter and brought the traditional look of Santa Claus more into the 21st century. So you have a Santa Claus that is traditional for the children because he still wears his red suit and his beard and is asking them about their wishes for Christmas. But he is a bit sexier. And it's pleasant for the ladies to look at.
All right, well, this is what I'm talking about. There was something, I guess, in your marketing or in your research that you did that suggested that mothers wanted to see a Santa at the mall that was more appealing to them, but there was a controversy having to do with a couple of the people that brought the kids there?
Well, Phil, you have to understand, I've worked in women's wear, women's garments, lingerie, for 17 years. There's not a lot about women that you fail to learn in that time when you were selling women's garments. And when I started coming to this country in the late 1970s and began visiting some of these businesses, at that time I was in the import-export business. I saw this traditional Santa Claus, and I realized that while this was for children, there was nothing there for the mothers. There was nothing, and I decided when we had this opportunity to make a Santa Claus appealing, not just to the children, but to the mothers.
All right, does the mall management and the other store owners, are they approving of this new Santa Claus look, this what you call this sexier look? What do they say about this?
Well, no, I've said to them, the business association that I belong to, I have said to the other store owners, the store managers in the mall, I understand women. Women want to feel as if they're not just a part of the scenery. And when you talk to these store owners, most of whom are American, you realize that you have to educate them to what women who are doing mostly Christmas shopping, what they want. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the governor of California, and he has said that immigrants, such as myself and Mr. Schwarzenegger, have new ideas that need to be brought to bear.
All right, let me, and I totally agree with Governor Schwarzenegger, by the way, on that notion. We can use all the good ideas we can in this country.
But he is saying that the immigrant, that you have to understand what Governor Schwarzenegger says, that the immigrant has the good ideas, and so I brought this idea to the other business.
Okay. Let me tell you that the complaints that have been received include that the Santa Claus suit you're wearing is a little revealing, that it's fairly, how do I put this, evident. The pants are a little tight, that you may or may not be wearing, the complaint was you may or may not be wearing underwear.
No, that is absolutely wrong. It's not the case. And by the way, most of these complaints come from the men. The women do not, they don't complain.
Are you wearing, I hate to ask you, are you wearing underwear?
The suit is cut so it provides support. The suit is cut so it provides support.
Okay, you're wearing a Santa Claus suit that's cut, the pants are cut pretty tight.
That is correct, yes. Again, you have to understand, this is for not only the children, this is for the mothers who bring the children to the mall in the daytime. And so this is something to make them, for them to enjoy themselves, you see. And the suit is cut so that it does provide support. If it's not cut sexier, open the jacket a little bit.
All right, so you're wearing a Santa Claus suit where the pants are a little tight, the jacket's open, the beard is trimmed off. Are you having your picture taken with the mothers and with the kids?
Yes, that is correct.
And do you open the jacket to show your chest? I mean, I'm just reacting to what was written here in the LA Times.
Well, when I take these pictures with the mother and the child, but if I will say, would you like your picture with Santa? Just the mother. Then I will very tastefully open the jacket.
All right, let me give our number here, Mr. Canoza. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Do you hear people when they say that they're afraid the kids are getting sexualized too early in life?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. But this is not a sexualizing child. All this is doing is providing for the women who bring the children to this mall to bring their child to see the Santa Claus. And they can come to see Santa, the children, and the women can come to see Santa, too. So that I have this Santa Claus suit that the children look at, but also is a very tight, it's not too tight, this is not right that this is too tight.
The complaint was the Santa Claus pants you're wearing are cut pretty tight. To the point where someone complained that you may not be wearing underwear.
No, this is not true. It's the pants are cut tight, but they are cut tight so that I have the support. And also, I have...
But if even if a little kid comes to sit down with you, and he sees something that he shouldn't.
No, but these are complaints that the men make because the men are the ones who don't understand. That this is not about sex. This is about making a woman feel that she's being paid attention to. It's not for me. This is for the women. It's for the women who bring their children to the mall. They feel as if they're being ignored. They bring this child to see the Santa Claus. And what is there for them? This Santa Claus, they have to sit there and they look at this fat Santa Claus, you see. But if you can give the women something to look at, and then they will want to come to shop the stores. So these pants are, and believe me when I tell you, Mr. Henry, these are vinyl boots, very nicely stylish, tight pants. I open the jacket up.
Well, you open the jacket up and you can see your bare chest.
In some of the photographs, yes. But that's only for the mothers.
And you've cut the beard off almost, it's almost like a George Michael thing, isn't it? Do you have the traditional Santa beard?
Well, no, I have a beard, yes.
But is it the traditional Santa beard or is it a shaved off kind of George Michael 5 o'clock shadow thing?
No, it's European. It's a European look. And it's not, it's very traditional, but at the same time, it's a tasteful European look. But let me tell you what is going on here. What is going on here is that the certain businesses don't want our success. That you have some of the men in the mall who don't like to see the women get a break and be able to sit down with a sexy-looking Santa Claus. It's very, and again, Arnold Schwarzenegger said this so very well. Immigrants are going to have the good ideas, and this is a great idea. And
all right. Somebody complained you were sticking your tongue out in one of the pictures in a lascivious way.
No, again, this is a cultural misunderstanding.
Well, what is that?
In what? In the photograph?
In the photograph where you're sticking your tongue out.
No, this is a Latin expression of affection to make a woman feel that she's beautiful. Again, this is not for me. This is for the women. To make a woman feel that she's beautiful. You look at her. And you say to her, la la, what that is the expression of you are the star of the moment, not the Santa Claus, not the child, you. And what I was doing in that instant was I was saying to her, la 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 la, which is the Latin or the Argentinian for you are the star of the hour. And so this is the misunderstanding.
All right, Rudy Canoza, thank you, sir, for explaining these things, but you have to understand that there is a problem, and I'm sure you've been made aware of it.
No, listen to me. This is not a problem, because the newspaper calls or some people complain. I'm there for the women. My star, Je T'aime, is a star for women. I'm not interested in what some jealous men may or may not think.
Well, it's more than that. I mean, there have been some complaints from some of the women.
But those are only women who are not used to being made to feel special. And,
all right, hold on. I want to take a break here. Rudy Canoza joins us, the owner of Jetem Lingerie there at the Nexus Mall, where he has, I guess the store owners rotate, taking turns playing Santa Claus for the kids. He has created a little bit of controversy wearing what he calls a modernized Santa suit. The pants are cut a little tight. The jacket is open, showing a bare chest. There, he says it's there. He does that for the mothers as well as for the kids, and there have been some complaints. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with Mr. Canoza in a moment.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It's not news. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So you patterned the suit after the Pirates of Treasure Island?
Well, when we went to Las Vegas, yes. And I thought that it was a wonderful look. It was a contemporary look that I was going for. And so when we went to cut the Santa Claus suit, I said, make it look as if it's a pirate suit. You know, as if it's... the word is... this was for the sexy, you know. And this is not an issue. This is a made-up issue in the minds of some men who are don't want their women to be made to feel special. And I can make them feel special by letting the children come to see the Santa Claus, but also they can come and see me as Rudy, with the pants cut, very European. It's a European cut, that's all.
Well, when you say it's a European cut, somebody said that they thought you weren't wearing underwear. And
well, this is the way Americans think. But again, Governor Schwarzenegger, I think, said it very well. Immigrants are the salvation of this country. The governor of the state of California is an immigrant. And the good business ideas are now coming from the immigrant. This is to stimulate the business at the mall for me to put on a pair of European cut pirate pants to put on the vinyl boot. It's very la la la, you know, as I said to the women, it's very la 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 la. You know, they love to see this with the children.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ben, you're speaking a language, though, that a lot of people don't speak in terms of the cultural...
Well, I know, because you have divorced from your celebrations the romance, you have divorced in the sensuality from the celebrations.
All right, let me go over to Tiffany. Go ahead, Tiffany.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Is your name Rudy?
Yes, hello.
Rudy, I just want to call. I want to say two things. I called about how you said that you are not trying to make it sexual for the children. You're not trying
no.
to do any of that type of orientation.
Oh, no, not at all, no.
Okay, but Rudy, in a sense, you may not realize it, but you're bringing these children to, you're showing them these type of things just by showing the mother that these children are with their mother, and in a sense, you're introducing that. You're trying to bring a romance that's not even supposed to be there with Santa Claus and the mother.
Oh, no, no.
I don't...
No, you see, what I think I know what the young lady is saying, and then let me address it. If you are American in the way you think, you immediately think of, not you, Tiffany, necessarily, but the people will think of the filth. You know, they immediately go to the filth. And this is romantic. It's
No, but what Tiffany's saying is...
All you're trying to do is trying to bring some type of sexual attraction to the mother by making her feel good. That's not your job, Rudy.
Well,
that's not your job at all.
My job is to get business for the mall. And
yeah, exactly.
To
so basically,
help.
You're using your sexual aspect to bring a woman to the mall to make her feel good for that how
is
many
there
minutes she's there just to get your sale.
What's wrong with making a woman feel good?
You're doing it cheaply because you already categorized it as a business thing. You're not trying to make her feel good to make her be a better woman.
No, I'm saying if she's going to shop in the mall, let her be comfortable. But what am I doing that is so sexual? What am I doing?
You're wearing the tight pants. You're doing this European type thing. And us as Americans, we don't understand it because we've taken romance out of it. And it's totally not even that. This is supposed to be for the children. You're taking it and making it such a sexual thing that these children should not even be exposed
but
to.
But I told you the pants are cut European.
What does that mean, they're cut European? They're tight.
Elaborate on that, Rudy.
It's a tight fit.
A tight fit. Does Santa Claus need to wear a tight fit pant as it is? I mean, look at what our children
have
are committed
seen,
to on TV.
Have you ever seen Treasure Island Pirates? Yes, it's for the children, too. Have you been to the Treasure Island in Las Vegas? They have a wonderful thing.
Treasure Island in Las Vegas. Do you think that children should be submitted to anything in Las Vegas?
No, they have.
Pants
are cut European, and I will see
how long. Excuse me, Rudy, how long have you been in America?
I have been coming to this country for 30 years. So
Where have you immigrated from, Rudy?
I am a businessman from Argentina. But let me tell you this. The immigrant is the governor of California. I don't know if you know this or not, but an immigrant is the governor of California. And the immigrant can bring a great idea. Do you know
Are
you familiar?
That's what America was founded on. Everyone is an immigrant in a sense.
Nobody's disputing the immigrant thing, Rudy. I think what we're disputing is the sexualizing.
No, let me say it to Tiffany, because if I say this to you, Tiffany, because I am Argentinian and because we can appreciate making a woman special, if I say to you, la-la-la-la.
Yeah, what is that, Rudy? That is just you rolling your tongue around.
No. You know what what it means is...
It's a sexual innuendo, Rudy.
No, ma'am,
it is not. It's quite disturbing that you would use that for your women.
No, I do not. It's not sexual. It is to make you feel good. Do you not feel special?
No, I say to you, you don't use the word properly in order to stimulate a woman's idea.
What are you doing that in front of the kids?
What is wrong to say? Why you say in front of the children?
Well, what do you mean you're going la-la-la in front of the kids?
What is wrong to do this?
You're saying that you do this, and what?
If the child is there, the mother is there, and
so
I will look at the
trying to say.
I will look at the child, look at the mother, and say la la la.
That is so disgusting. That is so
Why
disgusting.
Why is this disgusting?
Because what are you showing the child? I need you to answer that question, Rudy. What are you showing the child by doing that?
I'm complimenting his mother on how wonderful a mother and how beautiful a woman she is. Now, what is wrong with that? And the child sees that Santa Claus says to his mother, la 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 la.
And no, man, no, you got it all wrong. No, that's not what kids are going to dig, okay? Thanks, Tiffany. 1-800-449-8686.
Wait a minute. You say that's not what kids are going to dig, as if you have some information that I don't have. And
well, sir, I, with all due respect, I know you come from, you've been coming here for 35 years. I was born and raised here.
But again, you are missing the point. Governor Schwarzenegger comes from Australia. And
no, he comes from Austria.
He comes from Austria, yes. He doesn't even come from here, and he already knows what's going on, how to make everything work, how to make everything good, so that the roads are good, so the schools are good. And Rudy can do the same. Rudy, with the Santa Claus suit, with the European cut in the crotch. I am simply saying to you that a woman, when she hears Rudy say, blah, blah, feels special. And
but I don't speak that language. Americans...
But women speak that language. And also, it's time for the immigrant to be heard. It is time. It is time in many ways to say it is Rudy's time for the immigrant to be heard.
Because Governor Schwarzenegger's been a success.
Exactly. And with all these great, bright ideas everybody's got, listen to me. I'm telling you, women want to feel special when they bring their... They bring the kid to the mall, and they want to feel good. I have the very tight European cut with the vinyl boot, knee high.
Santa Claus is wearing knee high boots. 1-800-449-8686. Should Santa Claus be sexy so the mothers can enjoy him as much as the kids? This one store owner has done that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8666.
That's the traditional look of Santa Claus. I'm with Rudy Canoza, the owner of Jetem Lingerie in the Nexus Mall, one of 75 store owners and restaurant owners in the mall there. You are playing the part of Santa Claus this year in the mall, but the Santa Claus outfit you're wearing has gained some attention. Let me give you another example of what people have been talking about, sir.
All right.
You wear a puffy shirt of some kind, correct?
This, again, for me to have to defend what...
But the traditional Santa Claus is a big red suit and a big red...
It is a red suit, but I brought a continental look to the Santa Claus look so that the women, the mothers... And you listen to the women who are so brainwashed to have called your program this evening, who cannot even allow themselves to hear an Argentinian man say to them, which is a sign of respect, la 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 la, and they won't even, they think it's something sexual. And
well, it sounds sexual to an American.
Well, I think, again, this is where the immigrant can educate, as Governor Schwarzenegger has educated, because he comes from the, you know, over... Forgive me, it's...
Austria.
From Austria. He wised everybody up, you know, to use the American saying. He beat some sense into the... You know, this is what I want to do, to beat some, pound some sense into these women, so that when I say to them, la, 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 they know that Rudy, and only Rudy, can express this.
All right, let me go over here to Kathy. Kathy, go ahead.
Well, first of all, just listening to what this gentleman said, what gives you the right, or what makes you an expert on what other women, and generalizing, would want to see, want to hear, to make them feel special?
Well, I've been in the lingerie business for 35 years.
Well, that's the lingerie business. That's not Santa Claus.
But when you,
what
you
have your children in.
What you've spent your entire professional career looking at women, Ben, let me say to you, Kathy, I don't mean to be humorous, but it is funny. I've spent my whole life looking at women in their underwear. And so you come
and that's
to,
wonderful.
You come
and
to know.
Agree. You want to feel special. You find the time and the appropriate
yes.
place where you can feel special.
Well, that's,
I don't
see,
want to feel
go.
Special in that way. Even if I have been a long time customer of yours,
yes.
I would not appreciate you making a spectacle of yourself and demeaning me. And
no,
Santa Claus,
it's not to demean
and the whole Christmas.
Oh, no, it's not to demean
spirit.
You, Kathy. When you come to me, I will look at you, I will say to you, la, 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 la.
And I would slap you in your face.
Why would you slap me for saying to you that you are a wonderful, beautiful woman who brings
there
you wonderful,
beautiful
child?
There is a time and a place for everything. And also, I don't understand this comparison you're making with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what has he beaten into the people that is from his native background?
The immigrant, I think, Kathy, is what the Governor Schwarzenegger is telling us. The immigrant has brought fresh ideas, the new fresh approach. The American stagnates. The American is rotting in his own filth, if you will. And
what do you mean, rotting in our own filth?
Do you like to look at yourself in the mirror? A lot.
Do I enjoy looking at myself?
Because this is what I see. That you're the only person that's getting off on this. I have to tell you, I'm driving back from Texas. I'm almost in Chicago now, and I love talk radio. And I could not find anything as amusing as this story. And I have only one other time called the radio station. And that was during the committee Senate meetings for Clinton's impeachment. And this
would
be the second time.
I don't know anything.
And I find you outrageous, and I can't imagine anyone would tolerate it. And any mother that comes there with their child, if they were a customer of yours, I am quite sure they will not continue to be unless they're totally warped.
Let me jump in here, Kathy. Rudy, what this woman is saying, I don't think you mean harm.
I do not.
I don't think you mean any harm, but I think...
Let me just say this to you, Kathy. If you were to come and to sit on my knee and I have on the European fit Santa Claus slacks, okay?
I wouldn't.
And then I say to you, blah, 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 blah. Now you think that's filthy.
Okay, I'm also recently divorced, and I have been on dates gentleman goes, blah, 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 and.
Kathy, say it with me. La, la, la. It makes you feel better. Also, why would you come to see Rudy?
Women are so sexually repressed and
why would you come to see Rudy if you have no child? It doesn't make sense to me.
Right, well, she's divorced. Sense. Okay. Kathy, thank you. Thank you very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Alicia is in West Palm Beach and is Argentinian, correct, Alicia?
Yes, it's correct, Phil.
Go ahead.
Well, what I have to tell about
welcome
this
to, do you miss Argentina? I miss it so much.
I don't even think you are from Argentina.
I've been in America a great long time. I miss Argentina so much.
Well, but the custom of saying la la la, if you say to an Argentinian lady, they probably spit in your face. I live in Argentina.
Okay, this is a lie. You are lying, and you know you are lying. You lie. Why do you call up to make our country look bad?
No, I don't make it look bad. You make it look bad, our country, which is a beautiful country.
It's a wonderful country. I love Argentina.
They say like America, sir. I'm resident of both countries. Well, and we have respect for gentlemen and for ladies.
Of course we do.
Here and there. But you create a lie to people they don't know from Argentina, our customs and our respect.
No.
You put us down.
No. I am simply saying that the Argentinian man, to show a woman that she is the pinnacle of humanity, is to say to her, blah, la la. You know this. Why would you lie to me?
No,
you lie to make me.
I never heard that. I'm sorry. You are a liar.
No, you lie. You lie. You make Rudy look bad.
I'm from Argentina.
Wait a minute.
Tell me the town.
Wait, hold on.
Tell me what area you live. You come from a shacky town to tell the lady, la la la, they think you are stupid. They laugh in your face.
I will tell you I come from a mountain village.
Where?
The north side. You know something, Alicia? You are a la 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 liar. Yes.
You are the liar. So
lie to make Rudy look bad because I have
it. Hold on,
ladies and gentlemen. Let's not call each other names.
No, I'm saying the immigrant is bring to America wonderful things for America, as Governor Schwarzenegger has done. Alicia, you should be proud of what the immigrant bring, and yet you call me a liar? You call Rudy a liar?
Not on all the immigrants we have to be proud, here or in Argentina.
Man,
you're wrong.
All
the immigrants are good. Not all the immigrants in Argentina are good. You are the best example of immigrants.
I come from a little village called Mendoza.
And What province?
In what province?
Yes.
I haven't been there in a long time.
You don't know what province you are born?
Yes, of course I know the province I was born in.
You don't know the province you are born, you don't have the birth certificate.
It's in the northwest part of the country.
In the northwest, it's a 12 province. Province you come from? Prove me that you are an Argentinian.
From the village of Mendoza, which was, by the way, named after my great-grandfather. I come from the province. It's on the tip of my tongue.
What are you talking about, man?
It's called Barrio Derego.
Look, Barrio is a neighborhood. Mendoza is a province. I catch you in the lie. You don't even know where you are born.
You call Rudy the liar?
You are.
No.
You are a bad example of Argentinian, and you should not be here. America is beautiful.
America is a wonderful country. The women here are beautiful.
You,
the Argentinian witch, you called to call Rudy the liar.
A second. Don't be calling anybody a witch.
No. She made me. I've got a business, Je T'aime Lingerie.
I don't even know where she was born. He came probably from a shacky town.
No. I will tell you. You know why I won't tell you where I was born? Because I am running from the military dictatorship.
Well, okay, it's 30 years ago, and you don't remember where you were born?
I ran out of the country. All I remember was the Park Hyatt in Mendoza, and that's it.
What do you mean, the Park Hyatt?
Well, you make Rudy... I've never had a woman laugh.
God.
You know something? I've never had a woman laugh in my face like this. Let this Argentinian witch look at her laugh at me to make me...
Look, you're doing your business a lot of harm by coming on here and make...
I'm not making up anything. She knows what I say to her, la, 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 la. Guns are in.
It's not true. She tried to be impressed with a funny accent, and she tried to impress Americans about European costumes.
Why do you say my accent is phony?
My accent is my accent, but I don't try to lie about the good and the bad of my country.
You lie.
No. All right, Alicia, thank you for your call.
Wait a minute, are you blowing me off?
No, I'm not blowing you off, but the ladies brought up something here, this la-la-la thing. She
it's
says
not it, truth.
So men
it's
don't...
It's not like you're seeing.
Men don't come up to women in Argentina and go la-la-la as a way of respecting them.
No, they think la-la-la is an idiot. I'm a mental retarded. What means la-la-la?
You call me a retard?
Coming with your speech?
So you call me a panhead? Is that what you call me, the pan face?
You are a liar.
You are a liar to call me, Rudy, the pan face.
You are impressed, and you don't impress nobody.
All right,
sir.
Alicia, nobody. Thank you. Mr. Canoza, I think you've done your business.
My business is your Tem Lingerie in Nexus Mall in Woodland Hills. Please don't hang up.
I hung up on him. Alicia,
thank you, sir.
I want to
let you know something. Hello?
Montevideo? Is
Hello?
That where's Montevideo? Is that in Argentina? Oh, anyway, Alicia, what were you going to say?
Montevideo is the capital of Uruguay.
Oh, okay. So what were you going to say?
I'm going to say that he make people look bad. You know, I have very
the woman lies.
Get out of here.
Country.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I have a strong feeling for America.
Of course.
And you put ourselves down.
I want that guy on hold. Okay, I don't want him on as the lady's talking.
I feel. I think you have a beautiful program. I listen to your program.
Well, you're very nice.
When he mentioned
Argentina, it's a drag. Yeah, it's a drag.
It's a drag and it's a
bad. The Argentinian witch lies.
All right, listen. Thank you, Alicia. I appreciate your call. Thank you, dear.
Good success
thank
with
you.
Your program.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
La, la, la.
Can't we put one guy on hold on this show? Rudy Canoza, and if you want to visit his store, it's Je T'aime Lingerie. He spent his whole life looking at women in their underwear. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Yeah, Phil, I was listening to your program yesterday, and you were talking about how a head can look at stuff on account it got chopped off, and I done some research.
Okay, Chris, is this the guy? Go ahead.
Yeah, the title of the article, and you can find it on www.http://.
Just give me the name of the site, okay?
What?
Just give me the name of the site, man.
Yeah, it's europeanhistory.about.com, or, no, wait a minute. It's your...
Never mind. What does the thing say?
Wait a minute. It's europeanhistory.about.com/library/... BLDYK.
Jesus.
10.htm, okay? It's an article written by a guy named It Doesn't Say. And,
okay, so what is the name of the article?
What? I'm sorry, man. I had, it was a Quiznos. And
okay, that's fine. So what was the name of the article?
Yeah, it's called Does a Head of a Guillotine, do a guillotine head still see stuff?
That's the name of it?
Well, it's called Does the Head of a Guy Who Doesn't Have a Head. All right.
Yeah, I've had to get a little knock, huh?
What?
Yeah.
All right, so, one famous tale concerns Charlotte Corday, the killer of Marat, whose cheek supposedly reddened after the executioner slapped it, even though at that point she was just a head that was just cut off laying there.
Wait a second. Her cheek reddened?
Yeah, she got pissed.
The head got pissed?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The current medical consensus is that life does survive for a period of roughly 13 seconds. Bitchin'. Think about it, man. See, first of all, you got to make sure that, you know, hold on for a minute. Okay.
Would you leave the pipe alone as long as you're on the air with me? Would you mind?
But think about it, man. 13 seconds, you checking it out? Yeah, goodbye, cruel world. Adios. I'm a ghost.
That's what you do, huh?
Yeah, man. Okay, check it out. Okay, Jeff Dodder, you're all messed up. You murdered like 15 kids, okay? You're going to,
get your head guillotined.
Yeah, get your head guillotined. Okay, you're dead. Boom, down comes the blade, right?
Yeah.
Then my head goes rolling out onto the floor where I was supposed to be, and say it rolls upright, so my head's just sitting upright on the stage. I'm looking out at people going, later, and then I just die. You can look up at the dude and say, do you like that supersize, sir? That's going to be my final words. That's going to be my...
Yeah, okay, man. I can tell when that really, really bad green you grow in your backyard is kicking in. You're coming up with dopey sayings like that.
What?
So your head gets cut off and rolls out onto the stage, and you go, would you like that supersized?
Yeah, man, that's going to be my last words. I bet if I was just a head, you put me on top of some shoes, I'd look like a midget. Remember that head detective dude from In Living Color? That was the bomb. Okay,
just read the rest of the asinine story.
The simple act of removing a head from a body is not what kills the brain. Rather, it is the lack of oxygen and other important chemicals provided in the bloodstream. To quote Dr. Ron Wright,
who's he?
What?
Who's Dr. Ron Wright?
He's the guy that studied cut-off heads or something. I guess he's hung around when heads got cut off. He checked out the blink, you know, if it blinked at him or winked at him or whatever. One guy got his head cut off twice.
Why?
Okay, check this out, man. The dude got his head cut off for screwing around with another guy's wife, right?
Yeah.
But the guy's wife is there the day he got his head cut off. So when the head got cut off, the head rolled up and winked at the guy's wife. So the dude took the head, stuck it back on, cut it off again. Another story.
Will you put the pipe away?
You know, I bet if I was just a head and you put a candle in my mouth, I look like a Halloween pumpkin.
Thanks a lot, man.
Don't you want to hear about... I've got another one here about how they attach electrodes to the...
No, I don't need to know anymore, man. I just wanted to know about the guillotine thing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, bye.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. This is the Phil Henry Show.
I am joined this hour by Dean Wheeler. He's with the Northern Californians for an Alternative. And there's been an awful lot of discussion about the separation of church and state. A lot of people are, I suppose, concerned, Mr. Wheeler, that with the re-election of President Bush, the lines are going to blur. And I know that you're one of them.
Phil, that is correct. And first of all, let me thank you for having me on your program tonight. It really is appreciated, and we do appreciate the forum that you provide for us.
Why do you feel President Bush has blurred these lines?
There's no doubt, I think, Phil, in the minds of a lot of people that President Bush, his public discussion of religion, encourages a less of a severe treatment of the idea that one's religious beliefs should be kept clear of public property and even private property of individuals who may believe in an alternative way of thinking. And because of that, in my own personal life, and I'm speaking just now, Phil, as an individual American, I've spent so many years endeavoring to rid myself of what I really believed was the polluting influence of the Judeo-Christian ethic. And I've attempted to imbue myself, if you will, with a more Eastern, a much more holistic view. But it's tough to live that way when the American administration has no respect for your religious beliefs, only theirs.
You are a teacher of what you call alternative medicines. You are a self-professed believer in what you call it. Some people, I think, call it New Age thinking.
No, it's not New Age at all, Phil. What I believe is just in the fundamental mother-father concept of a spiritual Godhead, and that one is in harmony with the Godhead. It is an old way of viewing our universe, and it is one that is drawn from the Taoist teachings of Lao Tzu, as well as the sevenfold path of Buddhism. And all of the wonderful peace and the tranquility that I've achieved is constantly being assaulted and harassed by this flanking action of the Bush administration, encouraging people to push their religion into other people's lives. In point of fact, just the other, probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we had Christmas carolers here, and these were children who are encouraged to go door to door and sing these religious songs. Now, I don't have a problem with children having a good time during the holiday season. I do have a problem with parents who encourage their children to push religion in this way.
Well, I mean, Christmas caroling, come on. It's just, you know,
you may think it's innocent.
Well, it's a long-standing tradition to, and kids going door-to-door Christmas caroling is so rare.
Well, it happened in our neighborhood, and I had just come back from a retreat in Novato for some 75 alternative healthcare professionals, and had really achieved the blithic state, as we call it, which is a state of tranquility, when my doorbell rang, and I went to the door, and there were these children singing, and I reacted, I think, in a way that people who don't want this Judeo-Christian ethic thrust down their throat reacted. I reacted by grabbing one of the children and pulling his pants down and spanking him.
In front of the other kids?
Yes.
Are you proud of that?
No, I am not proud of that, Phil, but I think we have to see where the real blame lies, and that's with the Bush administration. And
oh, come on, Mr. Wheeler, the idea that you would grab a child and spank him. And
I'm not justifying the action, Phil, but I want the blame to be shared by the administration in Washington. That's very crucial for you and I to understand each other.
Do you find yourself guiltless for doing that? You grab a child. Were there parents there?
There were parents there, yes. And I told them at the time that they came on my private property, forced these children into singing these Judeo-Christian hymns, and all of my teachings and all of the things I tried to achieve went completely evaporated. And I grabbed that child by the ears, and I spanked him after pulling his pants to his knees.
Well, I've got to open our phone lines up for this discussion, although you've brought in an element that I find frankly appalling, that you would assault this child.
But I'm not blameless, Phil.
All right, so you say you're not blameless, but the Bush administration shares some of the blame.
They have to share some of the blame, given the fact that President Bush has pushed his Judeo-Christian ethic right up our throat.
1-800-449-8686 is our number. Mr. Dean Wheeler, sir, if that was my child that you had spanked, you have to understand, I would probably have reacted violently.
Well, I don't blame you, but please understand that if you are going to if you're going to see my actions as something that you have to respond to with violence, then you would only escalate the violence, because then I would have to respond to you violently.
But you just hit my kid.
I did. But I would, if you want to be violent with me, why don't you express equally your displeasure with the Bush administration?
1-800-449-8686. Has the Bush administration pushed religion to the point where it is now intruding insufferably on the private lives of people? Mr. Dean Wheeler is an alternative healthcare professional. You know, you say that you have this alternative view of this religious Eastern. You say you've sort of taken a lot of different systems of belief.
Well, Phil, the belief system that I embrace is blithic or blist, and it is based on four tenets of being blissed, and they are to live in the world but not be of it, to respond with good grace and peace but not to allow the world to rancor you, to be careful and considerate of your own body but to also use that temple for its carnal purpose, and finally, to respect the authorities but not to allow them to emotionally and spiritually keep you as one would a sex slave.
Is the caller there? All right, what? You there, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The blithic state that you're talking about was not with you, though, when you hit that child, was it?
No, sir, it was not.
All right, but you are saying that for you to take responsibility, you also have to allow the Bush administration to share that. We've been hearing an awful lot from the people in the private sector about this idea of religion. You're not allowed to say Merry Christmas here. You can't say Merry Christmas there. Is that the kind of a world that you want to see?
Well, I think it's the only kind of world we can possibly live in, Phil, and maintain our composure. I don't want to have to react the way I did with that child. But as long as the Bush administration has put front and center its desire to keep Christmas tree lots and the public display of religious symbol during the Christmas season, then when kids come to my door Christmas caroling, then that is going to provoke me to a point where I'm just going to lose it, and someone is going to bleed. And I don't want it to be on my watch.
Why not put a sign up on your front lawn that says no Christmas caroling?
Well, you know, it's surprising how little good that does. You can put a sign up that says no Halloween trick-or-treating, and the kids are still going to let the air out of the tires of your car, or in the case last Halloween, they took a beautiful Persian cat that I have, and when I came out to get the paper the next morning, the animal had been lynched. It's just,
oh my God!
It's that kind of world that people are, and with Christmas caroling, I have decided that I'm going to respond in kind.
Well, I don't think that striking the child is the answer. If it happened again, would you do that again?
I would try not to, Phil. But as long as President Bush is going to be silent about his belief in intruding religion into our lives, then I'm going to have to. The next time I see a kid come to the door singing a Christmas carol, I am going to have to do what my body tells me to do, and that is to swing my right leg back, wearing a hobnail boot, and follow through.
What does that mean? Fall, kick the kid?
If that's how you see it, yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Wearing a hobnail boot and follow through. Mr. Dean Wheeler joins us on the separation of church and state. Should Christmas carolers be allowed to go door to door, given the fact that they are pushing their religion down the throats of private homeowners? Or should this kind of thing now be restricted? Mr. Wheeler, in the instance of his home, was visited by Christmas carolers. And I envy the guy. When's the last time anybody came to your door and Christmas caroled? He was visited by Christmas carolers, and he grabbed one of the kids and yanked his pants down and spanked him. He said that violent act was, yes, his responsibility, but also influenced and perhaps caused by the Bush administration's encouragement of this blurring of the lines between religion and state. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You would stick an ice pick into a baby to save a cougar in a bush.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What is this again?
It's a bread baking competition that they have every year in Novato, and people come from all over the country, really, to exchange recipes, whole wheat grains, seven sprouted grains, etc.
All right, Dean Wheeler is with me about Christmas caroling, and really this is about religious symbol in public places.
Yes, so it's about how it provokes a guy like me, who up until I discovered a way to live my life without rancor, I was a troubled man. I had been married 3 times. I had abused all 3 of my wives. And I found a place to live in which was a place of tranquility. And I wouldn't beat women anymore, and I wouldn't want to abuse children. And yet, after finding that place of tranquility, these Christmas carolers come to my house and completely destroy that space that I've created, to the point where I wanted to pick this kid up by his ears and throw him into a wood chipper. That
is violent, and I wouldn't say...
Well, but again, let's remember that George Bush is partially to blame for this.
Well, but to assault a child. Let me go to Stacy. Stacy, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I just find it very hard to... I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to how...
Yes.
I hear you say that George Bush is creating this Judeo-Christian world and
yes.
shoving this down our throats, and he's very intolerant. And when those little children came to your door thinking that what they were doing was a good thing and that they were getting much joy from it, and you physically assault the child, where is the tolerance for that child?
It was wrong of me. I agree. It was very wrong of me. But why won't you realize that it isn't all my fault, that George Bush pushed my hand, almost was holding my hand and making me slap that child's bare area?
Did I miss something? Was he there? Did he?
Now, good point. Good point, Stacy. George Bush didn't pull your hand.
Phil, the George Bush that I know is the man who talks about religion all the time, morning, noon, and night, until you want to be sick all over the front of your robe. And I am trying to say, I take responsibility for striking that child. Yes, but George Bush. If I hit that child, George Bush pulled his pants down. That's what I'm saying.
You can't sit there and blame somebody like that for helping you to do that. You did that. You have to take responsibility
yeah.
for your own actions.
Now let's talk about this. Go ahead, Stacey. I'm sorry.
I just find
what were you
it.
Gonna say, Phil?
I mean,
I want
that,
Stacey.
That would be a good excuse for everybody, don't you think? I mean, well, George Bush partially made me do it. I mean, you start using that as an excuse, and the next thing you know, everybody can do that. Well, I drink because of George Bush.
No, that's of course not. But in the instance of religion, isn't George Bush the one who is always talking on news conferences and press conferences about how Jesus was nailed up on a cross by Jews and all of this nonsense? Yes, he is.
I've never heard him say that.
Where he's ever referred to the crucifixion of Christ or about the Jewish culture doing that.
Well, if it was my hand that hit that child, it was George Bush's knee that the boy laid over. And why is that? Because of the culture of violence.
All right. Stacey, I appreciate your call, and I also appreciate you, Dean, taking responsibility But the Bush excuse that Stacey is just referring to is being used by everybody about everything.
No, it isn't, Phil. George Bush did cause the war in Iraq and the suffering of millions around the world, but he is not responsible, for instance, for the prohibitions on Wheatina and things like that.
What prohibition on Wheatina?
Well, that's what they're discussing. That's why we're having the bread-breaking competition, because there is a certain prohibition now against certain wheat products.
Okay, Stacey, thank you for your call.
Because you're welcome.
A lot of this stuff is alternative.
No, the Wheatina is... Do you enjoy Wheatina? It is very big with my congregation.
All right, let me go over here to Barbara. Barbara, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Barbara. Hi.
Yes. I don't understand how people, be it him, other people, can blame someone else for their lack of self-control. Why they have to blame someone else because they have lost control.
Well, Barbara, yes, go ahead.
It's all you had to do was simply close the door and go back inside. You would have gotten your point across.
If you had
done this to my child, I would have filed a complaint with the police for physical abuse.
Did anyone file a complaint, Mr. Wheeler? I mean, I would. Barbara's right. I would have, too.
I'm very well known in the neighborhood as someone who comes from a history of violence, and I think people are probably afraid of me a little bit. I'm very, very peaceful now. As I said, Barbara, and I was very candid, I had three wives that I beat pretty good, almost on a daily basis. And maybe they're afraid of that. I don't know.
Why would they be afraid of you if you're a peaceful man?
I don't know. People, since George Bush has been elected, people are thinking it's screwy out there.
I am also getting very tired of having to give in to every other religion and bend over backwards so they are not offended. But God forbid that, you know, they should offend me. They purport and put all this stuff out to me that I have to listen, but they can't listen to my point. I'm sorry. It's a two-way street.
Good point.
Well, Barbara, this is Dean. Don't you think the Muslims have some pretty good ideas about things?
I don't know that much about the Muslim religion. From some things, depending on which point of view
for instance,
see, it's very good.
Shrouding
others
the women
are very bad.
Shrouding women. Now, you may think that's sexist, but a woman covering her face does two things. It preserves her beauty and makes it more alluring. And for women who are not pleasant to look at, it gives the rest of us a little bit of a time out from having to look at
face. Again, in that respect, I think there are some men that should shroud their face.
Barbara, wouldn't you rather have to wear a shroud on, for instance, a lot of bad hair days?
All right, look, Barbara, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
2 weeks ago, Mr. Dean Wheeler's home was visited by Christmas carolers, an experience I dare say many of us would like to have, and I'm not judging you, Mr. Wheeler, solely on that basis, but because you are fervently a believer in the separation of church and state, you reacted violently. You spanked, as you say, one of the children who was caroling there at the front door of your house. You blame all of this. In part, I realize you're taking responsibility for your actions, but you also say, and I'm quoting because I wrote it down, if I spanked that child, it was George Bush who pulled his pants down, correct?
I firmly believe that.
All right, now I got a question for you before we take a call. You admit to having abused three wives.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Who was president at the time you abused those wives to make you abuse them?
Phil,
that's a good question. What was it, Clinton? Did he make you beat your wives?
Phil, the truth is, when I was married to Carrie, to Alice and to Sandra, the three women that I was married to prior to my Blithic initiation, it wasn't about politics at all. It was the fact that they were women that wouldn't do things that I asked them to do.
So you're saying it was their fault?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
But now you spank this kid at your front door because it's Bush's fault.
Because I have been initiated into the Blithia.
Into the I don't know this religion.
It's a combination of some Eastern mythologies, and it's also a dietary system.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, this character has got to get another life, and he doesn't like it here. Maybe he should try the Muslim world over in the Middle East. Go to Iraq and maybe help those people understand what's going on to create a democracy over there. He won't have to worry about kids going to the door singing caroling and Christmas songs and all that. This guy's one short of stepping into the gallows over in California or whatever the death penalty is over there, because if he keeps on beating women, eventually he's going to be joining what's his name that's on trial right
Scott
now
Peterson?
Over there?
Scott Peterson.
Scott Peterson.
Well, I'd like to comment, Phil.
Go ahead.
Richard, I've never murdered anybody, and I do not beat women any longer because women no longer provoke me.
Yeah, either did Peterson. He didn't kill anybody, and he was a good golfer, too.
Well, I don't know about his golf game. I understand that he's a young man who made some mistakes.
Yeah, he killed a wife and a baby to be. What more could you want to do in life against your fellow man?
Well, that's a good point.
Well, gentlemen, I would like to point out I haven't killed anybody. I mean, I don't know where you people are coming from, but I'm saying that George Bush pulled the pants of that child down.
Give me a break. I've heard the same garbage since the 7th of November and the whole last 2 years about Bush this, Bush that, and Bush this. We're lucky to have him as president of the United States right now, I'll tell you that. And just because you hate him doesn't mean
he held
your hand to pull that kid's pants down. And it's a good thing you didn't have me as a parent standing in that door, because I would have grabbed you by the sack and swivel and dragged you through that door and slapped your little face from ear to ear.
Well, Richard, I appreciate your
strength. I can show you how violent I can get.
Well, I appreciate the strength of your anger, but I have to remind you, I beat three wives, and I'm trying to be a better man, but don't push me too far.
Push you, and you know, boy, I wish I had you over here right now. I'd push you just like I did the Viet Cong when I was in Vietnam twice. You're talking to a 30-year retired Marine Master Sergeant here, and I think I know which end is up in this country, and you sure aren't on either end of it.
Well, sir,
and it's a shame that people like us had to protect your butt to give you a life over in this country.
Richard,
you're very ungrateful,
yeah,
sir.
Richard, hold on for a minute. You're a veteran, correct?
Yes, I am.
All right, I got another veteran on the line. It's interesting how these...
Well, Phil, I don't want to speak to people who represent a military establishment.
No, hold on for a minute. Is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir, it is Lloyd, and I want to echo the words of this veteran. I was in a Korean conflict in 1950-1952 at Chosin Reservoir, and we pulled a few Marines out of the reservoir there, and I want to tell this guy you got on the phone right now, Mr. What is your name?
I'm Mr. Wheeler.
Mr. Wheeler, if you were standing in front of me, I'd take that hobnail boot, and I would bury it all the way up, right up you to the you-know-what. I can't even use the language.
You know, I can't understand the ungratefulness people have in this nation. I have never seen in the last several years the hatred of American people to this country. Forget about
Amen.
Bush, or forget about who's the president. They hate America. And what really ticks me off is that we got roughly a million and a half military trying to defend 300 million people in this nation, and 90% is ungrateful, 5% is starting to run for Canada, and the other 5% can't even pass the military test to get in there to help the guys over in Iraq.
Well, Mr. Henry, I want to respond. I don't hate America. I love this country so long as it provides me
with an ability to practice Blithia.
Blithia is what? That your religion?
Yes. And the separation of Blithia from Christianity. Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. This is Lloyd.
Go ahead.
If this pansy was in front of me when I was in the... We would have slapped a mop wig on him and a little lipstick. And, you savvy?
A mop wig and lipstick.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as that.
Well, I tell you,
So you're talking about assaulting me in a manner that one would sexually?
No, I'm not saying that, you fruit. I'm saying that I'm...
Okay, gentlemen, I want to thank Richard and Lloyd and...
Wait a minute, you didn't hear me. I want to say something.
What?
Mr. Henry, don't yell at me because I can get pretty... I beat up three women.
Yeah, good for you. You beat up three...
You know, you keep on saying that. You sound like you're proud of that. And then you pick on a little kid. I don't understand that. You have a mental problem, sir.
I picked this guy, and I just bought myself a brand new Chevrolet Excursion, and I got the four-wheel and everything, and I drive over top of your face with it.
Well, both of you guys can blow it out your...
Okay, we had to edit that out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've Richard, heard worse than that.
Richard,
Hey, Richard, remember back at Basic when we'd slap a mop wig on the company mule and paint a little lipstick?
Will you get out of here with this guy? Richard, thank you for your call, sir.
Okay, guy, take care.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Wheeler, I can only say...
He hung up.
Oh, he hung up? I could still hear his car.
Apparently he leapt from the car.
He what?
He leapt out of the car. He was so humiliated.
Put the line back up. Are you there, Mr. Wheeler?
No. I heard him. I can play the tape back.
Well, turn. You mean his car is still running and he leapt from the car?
Yeah, apparently you're so humiliated.
You have that on tape, bud?
I do.
Play it. All right, Richard, thank you very much. And, Mr. Wheeler, are you there?
I can't take it any longer.
Yeah!
So he leapt out of the car?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Well, what do you mean, your understanding?
Well, he went, I can't take it anymore, and he went, yeah.
I think that's the first time in the history of talk radio that a guy has concluded his call to a talk show and then leapt from his own car. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Be lovely with me. Come on, be lovely.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Those of you who are listening to our show and have listened to the show for a long time, I really believe what I'm about to tell you. I really believe this. And I want to preface it with my usual little disclaimer. I say this in all modesty. But those of you who have been listening to our show and have stayed with the show for a long time, someday when I'm long gone, and people say, oh, I used to listen to Phil Henry. About 90% of them are going to be lying. But you guys out there, you will be telling the truth. Because I really believe this radio show has had a huge impact in the kind of comedy and social commentary we deliver. How do I know? Because even broadcast professionals, guys that have worked in the business a long time, a lot of them don't get it. Are you ready for that? Don't get it. And I could explain to you what I mean by don't get it. Of course they know that I do the voice of these characters. But how in the hell do you call what you do, Henry, News Talk? How can that possibly conform to the public's need to hear a lot of hot air? You know, half the people that do these shows don't believe what they're saying. You know that, don't you? You don't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
You don't?
Rice Mambo?
Who's Rush Limbaugh? Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah.
No, I think he... I'm saying a lot of these lightweights, they don't believe half the stuff they're saying. And the people that call those shows only call up to hear themselves talk. Like the callers. The callers we get on our show...
Yeah, you spit salad all over me.
Excuse me, bud. The callers we get on our show are really... there's some real stuff going on there, man. I mean, they call... Most of these people call... They've never called a talk show, but they got a call because the stuff we're doing, you know, provokes them into having a real emotional response. But I just think that... When our show, which I truly believe the tapes of which will go into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame and anything else they got, there are going to be a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, I used to listen to Phil Henry. Yeah, you, no, you didn't. You just be there and you tell them, no, you didn't.
I know you weren't there.
I was listening, but you weren't. I put on a hobnail boot, pull back my right leg, and follow through. Man. Dean Wheeler on the Phil Henry Show dealing with a kid who comes to his front door Christmas caroling. I might have spanked him, but George Bush pulled his pants down. All right, I'd like to take a moment here to tell you about our CD, but I won't be too long-winded. I really want to tell you about the pizza that we're eating tonight. This is not a sponsor. This is not, please don't, I'm not doing a commercial. I just want to tell you, I got to give props to these guys because this is the greatest pizza in Los Angeles. Robbie Max. Yeah! Every now and again, we get hungry here at night, and we'll order out, and Robbie Mac has got... What do we got here, Chris? What's on this thing? Cheese?
That's a large pepperoni, sausage, onion, and black olive.
Oh, and there's some black... Oh, my God, is it delicious. Just delicious. It's a thin crust, which I personally like. A big, thick crust. To me, a thick crust pizza is some guy's excuse for making it. He's too lazy to make a really good pizza, so he just throws a lot of cheese and a big, fat crust, and the next thing you know, you got a big, fat guy walking out of your restaurant. But we got, and I got this antipasto, and they're just fantastic, these guys. And I just, you know, we've ordered a lot of pizza down through the years. Being in radio, you're always calling late night. I remember when we were in New York, and we're at the Broadcasting Museum, and we're doing our show. Now, get a load of this. New York City. Do you think people know about pizza there? I would hope so. And yet, when I was doing my show there at the Museum of Broadcast, of the Museum of Television Radio, right there on 46th, I think, I said, so we want to send out for some pizza. There was engineers there, and nobody knew it. Nobody knew a pizza place in town. These clowns, I said, what? This is New York. There's got to be some place around. Well, you could try this place. I said, we finally sent out for some. It wasn't that good because nobody knew. So that's when I went down to Little Italy, and I sat there in one of them little chairs on the sidewalk, and I put on a bib, and I ate lobster.
Wait, where the bib?
Because that's what they put on you, man. You slop it all down the front.
Don't you have a napkin?
No, man. When you go to an Italian restaurant, some of these places, and you eat that lobster,
yeah,
they put a bib on you.
Like, do they give you a high chair?
Are you being smart ass with me?
No, didn't you just say that you put on a bib?
Yes, it ain't a baby's bib. It ain't because I'm spitting up.
Well, then why do you wear it?
Because the freaking lobster juice gets down the front of you, man. It's a tradition. Do they put me in a high chair?
Probably put on a diaper and a little cute bonnet or something.
That's it, bud. I go down to an Italian restaurant in Little Italy. Immediately, I put on a diaper, a bonnet, and I sit in a high chair. And I smack you, man. You make me so proud to be your father.
Got you again.
Yeah, you jackass. 1-800-449-8686. Now, on to our Best Of CD, the Best of Phil Henry Show, Fahrenheit 2004 CD. Shipping tomorrow. In time for Christmas. All you guys have pre-ordered, baby. You're going to get Fahrenheit 7-Eleven in time for Christmas. This CD is so cool. It's a double CD, and it has the phone calls on one CD and some of our great bits on the other CD. I wish I had a copy of it. But I can tell you that some of the bits that we do are like Cowboy Jim is on there and a few other ones. And then the really cool phone calls. Here we are. We have a fans answering machine, Cowboy Jim, calling Michael Moore. Remember that, bud?
Yeah, he hung up on you.
Yeah, I did. Art Bell, Chris Norton, Jeff Dowder and Harvey Wireman doing a debate. We got the Skippy and Frank Morning Show, Guessing Your Weight, Where Do Babies Come From? I couldn't believe how stupid you were on that one.
Well, I didn't understand what you said. Mark's wife was sore.
And I wasn't about to tell you why. Also, Jim Rome, How Do Forest Fires Start, Hal and Viola, and Calling from the Barn Phone. That is on our skits. And then the calls, Ted Bell and the Curse of Lowbrow Customers, Margaret Gray and the Jesus Freak, We have Vernon Dozier and his baseball career, Herb Sewell and the Blonde. Those of you big Herb Sewell fans who have been requesting bits, they'll be on our CD this year. Don Parsley and the Munchkin. And that is where Don Parsley is speaking to a caller who sounds like she's three inches tall. Really little tiny lady. Bobby Dooley and the Immigration Problem. We'll have a cut called Steve Bozell and the Dirty Diaper. Justin McElroy and his stupid parents. Always fun to hear from that punk. Clara Bingham, middle school teacher. Jay Santos, the pervert and the garage sale. And it's a pretty good bit where Jay talks about how garage sales promote pervs walking into your neighborhood and sniffing tricycle seats at garage sales. Larry Grover and the War Widow, Margaret Gray in the bathtub, Jim Sadler and the bathroom break, Herb Sewell's out-of-body experience, Vernon Dozier, gas station owner, David G. Hall fields listeners' calls, and Steve Bozell's sexual confidence, always in question. Over 2 hours worth of audio on our CD, our double CD this year, and it's only 20 stinking bucks.
It's $23.50.
Yeah, with the handling and shipping, it's $23.50. But the $23.50 goes to the post office. I can't do anything about that. The $20 goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Really cool gift to give at Christmas time for the Phil Henry fan in your life. And if you want other gift ideas, go to our souvenir shop. We've got a brand new Phil Henry Show crew neck shirt. We got a brand new Western Estates Homeowners Association fitted baseball cap or ball cap. We've got all the standard stuff there, man. So hit up our website, www.philhenryshow.com. And when in L.A. and you need a good pizza, you got to go to this Robbie Max. I've never been there. All I do is call them, and that dude, they're always Johnny on the spot, man. Food's great. It's the Phil Henry Show, world famous.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Dave Oliva joins us. Dave is a criminal justice student at L.A. Canyon College. We're going to be talking a little bit here about his aspiring career as a police officer, but more importantly, this traffic, the parking problem, which is the purview often of the police, parking problems, traffic problems at Christmas time. Dave, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good, Mr. Henry. Thank you very much for putting me on your program. First of all, I want to say that I'm a second-generation American. I was born in America, but my parents are technically they're immigrants, you know.
From where, Dave?
From Mexico.
Okay.
And I also want to say that, as you said, I'm studying at L.A. Canyon to get my Associate Arts degree in criminal justice, and then I hope to attend the L.A. Police Academy to become a member of the L.A. Police Force.
Admirable goal, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. One of the projects that my professor has us working on has to do with alleviating traffic congestion, with particular attention paid to the parking problems, especially during high traffic times of year like the forthcoming Christmas holidays. And I've been able to synthesize and, I guess you could say, I put into plain English something that a lot of people, I think, feel, but they're not really want to articulate, and that would help. And the vehicle congestion, as well as socially, begin a dialogue that I think has been used or been needed for quite some time.
All right. You're putting together a couple of things here, traffic problems and social problems, and I suppose in a way they are related.
Well, absolutely. But the way I'm saying it in my class, I've had some people ask me about it, like the LA Times, because it's pretty unique what I'm saying. Is pretty different.
All right. Well, tell me what's involved. Tell my audience what's involved in alleviating the parking problems at Christmas.
Well, first of all, I've been able to identify that the current spaces that are reserved for handicapped parking in most public parking lots and structures in the United States amounts
in total to about 30%.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. It's a lot of space that generally goes unused, since the only individual who's allowed to use it must be handicapped, and the percentage of them, of people that, you know, are handicapped, you know, ain't that much. The social question is asked this way. Considering all that has been done and has been accomplished on behalf of handicapped people, the fact that there are handicapped parking spaces, the fact that, you know, like right now there are handicapped restrooms, the fact that there are wheelchair ramps, the fact that there is a Disabled American Act that is currently law, the fact that by law you are not allowed to make joke, you know, call a guy a cripple or anything like that. In fact, you're not really allowed to call him handicapped. You have to call him handicapable. And in some regards, so all of that has been done for the handicapped peoples. And I think the time has come, and this is the reason why I think it's really a unique idea, but I think the time has come for these individuals to recognize what's been done for them and to support a holiday moratorium on the use of handicapped spaces for handicapped people.
All right, so you're saying because handicapped people have had so much done for them by way of law, as you mentioned wheelchair ramps, you also mentioned...
And also the fact that you can't even look at a guy anymore and even say, hey, you know, there goes a guy, you know, is all crippled up, you know, you can't really technically say that.
All right, but what you're saying is, therefore... handicapped people should give up their parking spaces at Christmas time.
That is correct, by way of showing a little bit of gratitude for what's been done.
All right, well, regardless of what's been done for them, handicapped people still struggle with their disability. They still need those spaces.
Well, first of all, Mr. Henry, you need to understand something that I learned from my parents, and a lot of people listening probably could use this advice. A lot of us got to suck it up in this world, and my parents came north with nothing, and my father built a business with almost nothing and raised me up, and I'm going to college, and I think that the handicapped people, persons, could take a lesson from the immigrants in this country who, you know, in a lot of ways are, I guess, showing America the way on how to make our country more effective by, you know, suck it up a little bit.
All right, and sucking it up when you have to struggle with a new language or culture is one thing, but sucking it up when you're partially paralyzed, you know...
But the immigrants to this country technically are disabled too, because they're disabled by the lack of respect and disabled by the racism, and yet the immigrants to this country have shown the way for the rest of us to be successful, like the same way Governor Schwarzenegger has and other immigrants like him and people like him.
All right, Dave, I'm going to give our phone number out here. We do a call-in show.
Yes, sir. I love listening to your program. I listen to it quite often.
All right, thank you. And I'm going to give our number out here. It's 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. As we talk about parking problems at malls and that kind of thing, Mr. Oliver, is what you're talking about.
Well, in retail, yeah, any public lot, yes, sir.
And that so much has been done for the handicapped, why won't they give up their spaces at Christmas time? 1-800-449-8686. You know, it's funny. We had a guest on last night who was talking about this idea that you were just saying, that immigrants have shown the way for Americans. But what does that have to do really specifically with a parking problem?
Well, if you have made available an extra 30% of parking spaces at Christmas time by not restricting them as handicap only, you freed up a lot of space and you've alleviated a major parking headache. It only makes sense, you know. And the fact that the handicapped people, you're worried about them, or is that what you were saying, Mr. Henry?
Look, at those spaces are for people who are physically infirm. They cannot, for whatever reason, whatever the malady, they cannot negotiate their way from a regular parking space
But see, that's what I'm saying, Mr. Henry.
And so you're bringing in the immigrants' experience to say to handicapped people, suck it up the way immigrants have?
Exactly, yes, sir, exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make, yeah. And you need to, I'm glad you got that, because you can speak to a lot of people and they look at you, you know, like almost like if you've ever seen on a TV show,
like Lassie or some kind of a dog. When you say, when you whistle, he tilts his head, you know. And, or, you know, like, you know, a dog will tilt his head when he hears like a police siren. That's, it's funny, but that's the way a lot of people look at me when I say, you know, why don't you suck it up a little bit and give up your parking space for one time of the year the way the immigrant had to suck it up, like my father and my mother, you know. And once you explain it to them, they get it, but it's good that you got it. You know, I didn't have to explain it that much.
Well, it's not difficult to understand where you're coming from. I'm not,
Well, you'd be surprised. Everybody would say, you know, well, what do you mean immigrants did this and that? I say, hey, check it. I mean, you know, figure it out, man. Who's the governor of California? I said to a friend of mine the other day, I said, who's the governor of California? He goes, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. I said, yeah. Okay, figure it out. And he goes, what? I go, he's an immigrant. And he's a governor? So if he can do that, why can't handicapped people give up their spaces once a year?
This idea that a lot has been done for the handicapped.
Well, a lot has. I mean,
well, okay, you mentioned the Disabilities Act. You mentioned wheelchair ramps. You mentioned refitted bathrooms. You mentioned handicapped spaces.
They also have to cut a place in the sidewalk so a guy that can't walk good can roll his chair up onto it. They also have to have signs that tell you, a guy that is on a crutch or in a wheelchair where to go and how to do stuff. The rest of us have to just go our own way.
But you don't begrudge them that.
No, sir, I do not begrudge the handicapped people that. But after everything that's been done for them, down through the years, more and more and more and more and more, they should be allowed, I think we should be allowed to park in the handicapped spaces at the holiday time of year, absolutely.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dave Oliva joins us, the son of Mexican immigrants, who says the handicapped should suck it up the way immigrants have had to suck it up, and immigrants have sucked it up and are showing the way to the rest of the country. And additionally, he says that so much has been done for the handicapped, they should give up their parking spaces at Christmas time because, well, the space is needed for shopping, for traffic, to alleviate the traffic congestion. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm studying to be LAPD. That's right, I'm going to be LAPD. Hey, how do you like me now? How do you like me now?
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Yeah, you know, and like that, too.
1-800-449-8686.
Dave Oliva is a college student. You're studying to be LAPD, huh?
Yes, sir, I am. Very much so.
And this is a paper you're doing in your criminal justice class?
It's a law enforcement, yeah. And it's basically, it's a paper about alleviating traffic conditions. But I decided to combine a social question with it. We could alleviate the traffic question at the Christmas holiday season by utilizing these handicapped spaces. And to answer the question, you know, well, what about the handicapped people? I say, well, a lot's been done for them, you know, already. They got all kinds of, you know, I mean, how much more do you do? You know, you can't call them crippled. You can't say...
Well, it's not that you can't call them a cripple. It's that it's frowned upon because it's an antiquated term, a term that doesn't adequately respect somebody. You can call a guy a cripple if you want.
Well, but yeah, but if you do, they look at you like, you know, what's up with you? You know, like they think you're garbage or something, you know. So you can't do any of that. You can't do anything. So why can't I, you know, park in their space is what I'm saying.
And you say that they should suck it up the way the immigrant has.
Well, yeah, exactly. The immigrants had it way, if you think about it, way tougher than, like, not a cripple, but, you know, a guy that can't use a leg or something.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Kaya. Kaya, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dave Oliva.
Hi. I just have a comment about the whole comparing immigrants to handicaps.
There's so many public service jobs out there right now.
I did a little paper on it.
Okay, but there's so many jobs out there right now in the government that require bilingual. So they got to be speaking Spanish. Look at all we're doing for the immigrants.
What? They're not doing hardly anything.
Not doing anything?
Not hardly. You know, not as much as they do for, like, the handicap has got a place. I mean, can you imagine this? They have a special place for them to go to the toilet. I don't see no toilets for immigrants. See? That's what I'm talking about, you know.
I'm just amazed at what you're saying here. What about the veterans who were handicapped serving our country?
Well, I know, but they already got all kinds of stuff. They have toilets, wheelchair ramps. What country are you from?
I'm from the United States.
But how come you got an accent?
I think she's from Minnesota or something. It's a regional, it's a regional American accent.
Yeah.
You have an accent, Dave.
Well, not really. I mean, I was raised in Los Angeles, you know.
Yeah, but you were raised by Hispanic parents, so you have a little bit of an accent. Anyway, go ahead, Kaya.
Well, here's what I'm thinking.
What I'm trying to say is...
Let her talk first.
Okay.
If you have such an issue with the parking problems at malls and whatnot, why not just use the Internet? Everyone can buy whatever they need on the Internet. That way you're not singling out handicaps and prohibiting them from shopping.
Well, because not everybody has the Internet. It's slow. It's dial-up. Your credit card gets lost, you know, all kinds of stuff. I mean, maybe if you live up in Minnesota, that's all you got. But, you know, for those of us who live near a city, we can use the, you know, like go to a mall and actually drive a car to it. But if you live up in some of these, like, where does this lady live?
She's not on the line with us anymore. She lives in North Dakota.
Yeah, North Dakota doesn't have access to, like, a lot. So you have to go on the Internet and everything. But I don't even think in North Dakota they have DSL yet. So, you know, it's 601, half a dozen of the other, you know, in that regard.
Okay, here is Lucille. Lucille, go ahead.
Yes. I'm concerned. I don't think that this son of immigrants understands a lot of what's going on here. My whole family has heart problems, and I'm wondering which one of them is supposed to have a heart attack walking across the lot so that this guy can have a closer parking place, especially on Christmas.
Well, I mean, look at everything that's been done for your relatives. They got special places to go to the bathroom. They have easier ways to... You can't even call them a cripple or anything.
They didn't have any of this until it was fought out legally.
That's true. That was a tough battle.
Okay. It was a very tough battle. It took many years.
Okay, but they got it now, and everybody says, okay, cool, you know, you can have it.
And
I mean, I don't want anybody to have no heart attack, but...
We have more consideration for each other than you've got, because a lot of us, on a better day, will park further away so that somebody more disabled can have that spot.
Well, they can Internet shop, and they won't keel over.
Not everybody has Internet. Do you know that
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Lucille, but you just told the previous caller, Mr. Oliva, that exactly what Lucille just said, not everyone has the Internet. You even mentioned that North Dakota probably doesn't have DSL.
That's if you're not a cripple, I don't mean a cripple, but like what this lady says to her, what does your family have?
We've got a whole series of strokes and heart attacks and that kind of thing that don't even show up if you look at us.
Okay, now see... Technically, I'm only saying, that's kind of like your fault in a way from eating fatty foods and stuff.
It's my fault for being born genetically.
It is a genetic thing, yeah.
Isn't it about the food you eat, too?
No. I'm very careful with my diet.
Do you eat greens?
I eat greens, I eat fruits, I eat grains. I take vitamins, I take supplements.
Do you eat... like beta-carotene, all of the green tops of the carrots and stuff?
Look, this is not a nutrition show. We're talking about parking, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, that's correct. Well,
the lady made a very good point. Which one of her relatives is supposed to keel over from a heart attack so you can have a closer place to park?
I think the odds of that happening are very low, ma'am. I don't think, you know...
Do you know
it's a crapshoot. You know, life's a crapshoot. If I park... And I got to walk too far to go into the department store, and a drunk truck driver who's delivering bed sheets or furs or something in the lady shop runs me down because he wants to get back to his mobile home. What about that?
I have a sister who cannot sleep at night without oxygen, or she could die. And
what's she doing going to a mall? She shouldn't even be getting out of bed.
I've got news for you. My sister tried to take her oxygen tank and work.
Why not shuttle them in?
What?
We could shuttle them in. If you've been to Disneyland, they have shuttles.
You're showing no understanding at all. I can't tell you how many handicapped I've picked up myself and transported because they were sitting out in the cold at some place hoping to get a ride from some public transportation that wasn't showing up.
Now, you say your sister has to wear a gas tank everywhere she goes?
She has to take oxygen to even sleep at night.
Is this the kind of tanks that are like scuba divers wear? I mean, she's walking around like that. I don't understand. How can you wear scuba tanks?
They're not scuba tanks, man.
They're oxygen tanks.
Do you want to breathe? Oh, okay.
Okay,
I understand.
And then I sat by my aunt. My aunt was in bed blind for 5 years.
Well, these people that can't breathe and can't see shouldn't be going out. She shouldn't be driving.
She wasn't driving. She didn't take up one of your parking spaces for 5 years because she was parked in bed.
Well, there you go.
My cousin, who was also disabled, couldn't even get out to buy groceries.
Those are the only disabled people that I have that I would say the blind people because they don't drive, you know.
Gets out to buy groceries, which one of you are supposed to be in a parking spot so she can't get back to the van?
All right, Lucille, thank you very much. Good points all. Now, there's a lady who has...
Yeah, but she said that her family is blind. What are they doing driving? See, it's that kind of stuff that people don't think about. And
I can think about it. Obviously, we're not talking about blind people, but we are talking about people with heart conditions, people who have a difficult time navigating even the smallest distances. They need those parking spaces, and yet you are saying... So much has been done for the handicapped, so many things from wheelchair ramps to Americans with Disabilities Act, that they should at least have the common decency to give up their handicapped parking at Christmas time. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Dave Oliva, with just a few more minutes, David, you're talking about handicapped parking spaces being used by the rest of us. And I can hear the distinct sound, if you don't mind me asking, are you near a slot machines or something?
Oh, yeah, right now I'm at, they had the grand opening of Morongo Indian Casino, the new edition, so if that's okay, I mean, I'm just...
Okay, you're out at the casino?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The parking spaces of handicapped people, you want to be made available to everybody at the holiday rush because it's the least they can do for everything they've been given. Now, you heard one lady mention our disabled vets and the fact that this is a very difficult thing for them. What do you say about, for instance, disabled veterans?
Well, again, Mr. Henry, I go back to the fact that my parents were immigrants to this country and they sucked it up. So, technically... A guy that got, are you talking about a guy that got, you know, shot up and everything?
In a war, yeah.
Okay. He already knows about hardship because he fought, like, the Taliban. So it wouldn't be any big thing for him to walk to the store, even if he is in a wheelchair, you know? He's not going to complain. The veterans are not going to complain because they know they're not going to cry, you know? A lot of handicapped people, they cry, and the veteran isn't going to cry about it.
Walk to the store, even if he's in a wheelchair.
Well, you know, but I mean, wheel to the store.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, I got a couple of things now. I'm one of those veterans. I've had 8 knee surgeries between both knees. I didn't have any kind of cartilage in my knees at all. I'm not supposed to be walking more than 300 yards. In a day.
Are you calling from a jet fighter or something, man? It sounds like you're calling from a jet fighter.
No, I'm in a semi-truck.
Okay. Are you a veteran? If you're a veteran of a war, are you a veteran of a war?
Yes, I'm a veteran.
Okay, well, but did you fight in a war?
Yeah, I fought for our country, okay?
Where? Well, it doesn't matter. You can suck it up because you know about fighting the Taliban and everything.
Suck it up? What do you mean suck it up? Okay, you talk about sucking it up. Okay, here you are. You're a healthy man. You're full of energy. You have the ability as a healthy person to walk those extra few yards that you might have to walk.
That's a good point.
Where you have unhealthy people that have had disabilities, have problems. They can't do all that walking.
Well, that's a really good point, Bill, like Mr. Henry said. But think about this. At Christmas time, if you have a large family like I do, I've got three brothers, I got two sisters, and I got like six or seven cousins, and you have to do a lot of Christmas shopping for them, what are you going to do about that if you got to walk with a lot of toys and stuff? See, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, now let's put it this way, all
okay,
right?
Okay.
Okay, put yourself in a group. So you're in a group of 100 people.
Okay.
Okay, you take one handicapped space. Which one of you is going to flip the coin to get that one space because you're going to fight with 100 other people?
Well, I mean, it's basically finders keepers.
Hell yeah?
It's finders keepers, losers weepers. I mean, that's
okay, so why don't you have that attitude right now? Because there's other spaces that are right up close to the building. Not all of them are handicapped. Usually there's only two handicapped spaces in a row.
Look, right now, you say that you got no knee or something? What, you have no knee left?
I've had 8 knee surgeries.
Well, you might as well stop now, man, because whatever they did ain't working, you know. But
answer the guy's question.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to say. If you, how do you shift that semi, by the way? Is that 18 gears or?
It's an automatic.
What are you talking about, man?
No, I was curious.
We're talking about parking.
No,
you're trying to
If
make
you got no parking. Knee, if you got no knees, man, how do you hit the clutch on that thing?
It's an automatic truck, all right? They do have those. What you're trying to say is
automatic transmission. You never heard of that?
My cousin got it in his Buick. I didn't know they had it in the trucks.
Go ahead, Bill.
What I'm saying is, you're saying that...
You must have, like, spaghetti legs or something.
Go ahead, Bill.
You're saying that somebody with a disability should even suffer more than they're suffering right now so that somebody that's healthy and able to do anything they want to do can have a space closer to the building.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying.
So what makes you think that you're that special?
Well, my parents were immigrants. They started an auto detailing business, and they sucked it up. I think a guy, you know, handicapped people don't have room in their cars for Christmas gifts anyway. They got to save the room for the wheelchair and, like,
okay,
spit rags.
Let's stop right now. Where were you born?
I was born in Monterey Park, California.
Okay, you're an American citizen. Quit trying to do this.
What do you mean, spit rags?
You're not an immigrant. Your parents or your family was an immigrant. You are not an immigrant. You were born in this country.
Hey, can I ask you something?
So you don't fit in the immigrant category.
Well, but my parents showed the handicaps what to do by being tough. Hey, when you had your knees, did you ever have water in them?
I have water in them all the time. I have my knees drained twice a month.
But you don't have no knees.
What I'm saying is, you're not an immigrant.
I don't know how he shifted, man, with that.
All right, he explains it. Look at Bill, thank you.
Are you kneeless, sir? Because if you're kneeless, okay. Well, I don't know what he's...
Kneeless.
Dude, how can you tell me that you'd even want to shop at a store that has a bunch of people outside limping and drooling? That's all I'm trying to...
They gotta, you know, they need all that space for the wheelchair and the spit rags. What a sick, twisted bastard he is. Sorry I even put him on the air. Dave Oliva, and he's still trying to be a cop. We got a special visit with Rudy Canoza. Mr. Canoza, the owner of Je T'aime Lingerie, and it's that time of year, the Christmas season, and Mr. Canoza is on to sing us a traditional Argentinian holiday ballad, coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I got Rudy Canoza back on the line with us from Woodland Hills. And Rudy, how are you tonight?
Phil, very good. And I wanted to tell you that I was answering phone calls today in my office from people. I heard me on your program last night, and it was a very enjoyable experience. Although I did not appreciate the woman from Argentina lying. I don't like a liar. There's nothing that I like worse than a liar. Especially a female.
Now, hold on for a minute, because I know you call that woman a liar, but she said there is no such thing in the Argentinian culture as a man...
I know what she said, and she is a liar. The woman calls Rudy a liar. No woman calls her...
Now, hold on. I want to bring my audience up to speed on what was said last night. You say that in your culture, and you were, you're in a mall playing Santa Claus wearing tight pants.
I've explained all of that. For you to bring that, I've explained that, and I don't like the inference that this is bad for the children. I will never do anything that is bad for the child. It is Rudy's intention only to make the woman feel good, not to make the child feel bad.
All right, but you're wearing a Santa costume that's cut tight in the crotch with knee-high boots and the jacket open showing your chest hair. Now, a lot of people don't think that, but I don't want to re-argue the point last night.
I don't wish to re-argue it either. I know who Rudy is. I know who I am. Rudy knows who he is. And I would never, ever scandalize a child. And that is borders on slander. And
all right, sir, I don't mean to slander you, but I do want to address this question of, in the Argentinian culture, is there such a thing as walking up to a woman...
Absolutely. Phil.
Hold on, let me just... Is there such a thing in the Argentinian culture as walking up to a woman and by way of showing your appreciation of her and your admiration of her going, la, la, la?
Yes, there is, and I will tell you. In the province I'm from in Argentina is Mendoza. The culture, the practice of the lala goes back many centuries.
The lala.
This is what it's called, yes. It goes back many centuries. So you see a woman, and you want her to know she's beautiful. You walk up to her and you say, Buenos dias or buenas tardes, la 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 la. That way she knows she's appreciated.
See, that lady you called from Argentina said that you lied.
Well, she lied.
No, but she said that you lied.
Well, she lied. She is the liar, not I am the liar. I told you, the producer of your program...
Chris Pelton.
Yes, I spoke with him to say that I wanted to sing this song. This is a traditional Christmas song from Argentina that incorporates into the holiday season the... what is the word I'm looking for? The familial with the sensual. That is the Argentinian man who is constantly making a woman feel so special, but at the same time, appreciative of the holiday season.
All right. Do we have that music, Chris? We do. And you're going to sing it?
I'm going to sing the song, yes.
All right. Go ahead. What is this called?
It's called the Holiday. It's a wonderful title. The Holidays, What a Time for the Lala. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Here it is. Here's Rudy singing the song. The Holidays, What a Time for the Lala.
Oh, deck the halls with boughs of holly. Fa la 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 la. Yes, tis the season to be jolly. La 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 la. Deck the halls with boughs of holly.
Get out of here! How dare you, bud?
I didn't do it. Pelton did it.
Is that guy kidding me or what? David, did you hear that?
I heard that, and I heard you hang up on him. Now get him back on.
Wait a minute, man. That guy is...
Get that guy back on. You were on here last night almost slandering that guy, calling him a child molester. Now get him back on. I want to hear that song.
Are you kidding me or something, man? That guy...
I said to get him back on.
Can we call him back? Unbelievable. Is that guy trying to tell me that's a tradition? David, are you there?
I'm here. I'm waiting to hear that guy.
All right. Mr. Canoza.
Yes.
I'm sorry I hung up.
My understanding is your boss is on. Is this Mr. Hall?
Yes, it is, sir.
Rudy is not used to being treated like this. And for this man to
well, could I just say...
Shut your mouth. I'm talking to one of your listeners. Go ahead, sir. Rudy is not used to being treated like this. I understand. And I want to finish this Argentinian. I was slandered last night when the Argentinian whore called me a liar. And
he called her a whore. And
would you shut your mouth while I'm talking to one of your listeners, a fine Argentinian businessman? Go ahead, sir. Anyway, Mr. Henry allowed this Argentinian whore to call Rudy the liar. No one should do this. I understand. Go ahead and sing your song, sir. We're very sorry we hung up.
Oh, boy.
Who was that?
It was me. And I'm...
Would you shut up and play the music? Thank you. I would appreciate if this host of the show would shut his filthy mouth, because he lies. His mouth is full of nothing but lies. And I would like to sing my song.
All right, Mr. Canoza, I'm going to play your music for you.
Thank you. Is this the lying host?
Yes, it is.
A wonderful song, Phil. Let him sing. Oh, Dick, the horse with bows of folly. La 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 la
la la la la la. I will not allow that on the air.
Where'd he go?
I hung up.
You hung up again? You went against my wishes again.
Did you hear that guy or did you not? Deck the halls with boughs of folly. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I get it. You think it's obscene, huh?
I think it's a little over the line, yeah.
Boy, now I've seen everything. You, Phil Henry, a guy that's got material on his show that I wouldn't play for a ship full of convicts. And you're upset with some guy going, la, la, la. What a jet ball. Get him back on.
Oh, boy. Is he on? Mr. Canoza, I apologize.
You're a liar. You do not apologize to Rudy. Rudy demands the real apology. And that will come from your boss, Mr. Hall. Is he there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Apologize to me. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry on behalf of Clear Channel, Premier Radio Networks, and every radio station in America that we treat wonderful Argentinian immigrants like you like garbage. Now, please, please, sing your song. Well, if you put it that way. Can we start again, please? Because
oh, man.
What are you saying, Henry?
He wants to...
He's got
to
start again. Yes, he's not in the right key.
La, la, la.
Oh, that's it. Go ahead. Right. Put $5 on Attaboy Pinky.
Hey, are you going to sing the song?
Hold on for a minute. $5 on Attaboy Pinky. That's fifth race, okay? And that's at Hollywood Park. Okay, I'm ready to go.
What are you doing, man? I'm trying...
Don't give him crap. Play his music. Sorry, Mr. Canoza. Is the lying host giving me crap while I'm trying to place a bet on Attaboy Binky, a gray horse in the fifth race, with Don Pierce aboard? He lies. Yes, he is a liar. I can agree with on that. He is a stinking, crawling liar. All right, I would like to host the stinking, crawling, lying host of the show.
I'm going to play this one more time, and then I'm hanging up on both you guys.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm sorry. You didn't have my phone pot up.
Yeah, I understand that. Here we go.
Yo, get the halls, bows of
hot. Okay, that's all I needed to hear. Sub cat trying to go street on me now. Oh. Kind of bullcrap is that, man? Fa la 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 la. All right, that's Rudy Canoza, and Rudy is a Argentinian businessman who demanded, I think he said to Chris he demanded satisfaction. Well, that's about as much as he's going to get from me. I think he's going to have to look to you, bud, for a little more.
What's that mean? Does that mean I'm a gay blade?
If the shoe fits. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up next hour, Law Talk with Harvey Wireman. The Best of the Phil Henry Show CD is shipping this week. You can order online or you can call 877-616-7445. If you pre-ordered, if you placed an order, say, last week or the week before, whenever we began taking pre-orders, please be advised that it is shipping this weekend. It'll be there in time for Christmas. Don't you worry. Also, I would like to remind you that our souvenir shop has a number of really wonderful new items. We've got a Phil Henry crew neck shirt. It's got the Phil Henry Show logo on it. It's a crew neck long sleeve shirt. Really sweet. We also have a brand spanking new Western Estates Homeowners Association fitted ball cap. And that's brand new on our website as well. Additionally, I think the Teds of Beverly Hills shot glasses and coasters, all the stuff is there on the website at www.philhenryshow.com. Also, you can go there and see a really cool picture of Maria and I in black and white when we were broadcasting from some furniture showroom back in 1997 on a weekend. For what reason, I have no idea. It was one of those sponsor remotes. It's like a bed place, and there we are standing there doing a show. I remember I was like just doing a monologue, bouncing up and down on the beds or something. It was, it wasn't good. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.